Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
Yo, yo, ah, now, tuned in to Al Joe the Funk Master. Watch your grill, yoga, knock out cold fast. And talking shit, now we talking facts. Where the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps, you don't need a map. GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow the seeds. Planet, fuck a name and a fame, only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
Motherfuckers!
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps, episode 112. I think I got the number right. Actually, I think I got it wrong. It might be 113, but who's counting, right?
It should be you. All right.
It should be me. I can literally just go check and make sure I have the number up to date, but I like to guess. At this point, it's just kind of a game.
Unbelievable.
UFC 257 is in the books, and we had a good fight card. A lot of unexpected events. Obviously, it's MMA, anything can happen, but the way things went, I think it left the MMA world in a bit of shock, especially not having fights for after 3 weeks and this being the first event. I thought it was pretty good and it delivered.
Yeah, no, pretty spectacular card, honestly. Like, the last two fights alone, just, I think everyone got their money's worth with that, honestly,
yeah.
No?
Yeah, 100%. So, let's start with that. Dustin Poirier, Conor McGregor, the diamond.
Come
paid in full.
Come on now.
Paid in full.
What a story. What a guy.
How can you not like a guy like that?
Exactly. Like, I mean, I get it. People are, you know, especially a lot of people are sad for Conor, you know, after all this time coming back, but...
Wait, you said something about Conor being sad.
Okay, well, no, I said, like, that's what... No, for me, like, the guy's doing fine. He doesn't need me to feel bad for him. He's doing fine. But I get it. Like, I get the... Any man that's still taking L, I'll be like, all right, that's tough. I get it. But how are you not happy for Dustin?
He said he's got millions of dollars. Don't worry, he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine. Come on now.
Yeah, like, no, it's just hilarious. But
that's a fact.
My
but
fiance
Dustin,
says, oh, I feel bad for him. For, like, oh, I actually feel sad for Conor. And then he goes... For what? He has millions.
Millions.
He'll be okay.
And he will be. He can get whatever he wants, honestly. But come on. How do you not feel for Dustin? What a guy.
To be honest, I picked against Dustin, not because I didn't think he could win. I didn't think he was going to fight in such a way that he could win the fight. Yeah. I thought he was going to get a little bit emotionally charged up. Mm-hmm. The moment everyone asked him the same questions over and over again about the first fight and then getting caught up in that emotional aspect, reliving that.
Yeah.
Those feelings and then getting drawn back into a firefight where, like I said, we talked about it, Conor was the faster guy, but in terms of a complete fighter, you got to go with Dustin Poirier. And I'm not saying that obviously because he won in hindsight, but I'm just saying in terms of skill set, depending on how you fight, Conor was right in terms of styles make fights. And this is one of those fights where Dustin's approach was spot on and was super clean.
No, he definitely showed. I thought he definitely showed he's the more complete fighter. I mean, looked amazing on the feet, on the floor, everywhere. Yeah. I mean, he looked comfortable in there. It was pretty awesome for him to get that win 7 years after the first one. How awesome is that even? Just like, that's such an iconic perform. I mean, for Conor, that was like the big one when he was coming up, at least. Like, the official, all right, this is the guy. Either you're going to beat Dustin or else you're just all talk. And he put him out in the first round, the first fight for Dustin. I know that was a pretty rough loss. I remember seeing a tweet right after the loss to Conor the first time saying, you know, like, there's no words to describe, you know, how terrible I feel. And then 7 years later to be, the champ. That's awesome.
Yeah, everything comes full circle as long as you stay the course. It's just fascinating just to see that. And that picture that one of the UFC photographers took, super iconic, where Dustin's got his hands up, he looks back, and you see Conor on the ground kind of just, you know, deflated.
Yeah.
You know, and for a guy who was on top for such a long time, being away from the game, hasn't fought since last year, and then coming back after a long layoff and then losing like that, he did some good things. He tried to disrespect Poirier with the Cowboy Cerrone shoulder thrust.
He definitely did. But Dustin took it like a champ. He was like, he's talking to him in his ear. He gave him a couple of those shoulder strikes back. He just didn't fold. Like, honestly, it's like, I think that's the best part of this fight. But a lot of people, I think the reason they picked Dustin, aside from just Conor's very fast, he's a very good fighter, was that just, I think a lot of people expected Dustin to get in his own way. And he has in the past. He's done it multiple times, but... You got to be happy to just see that. Just the guy, you know, get out of his own way, do the right things, show exactly what he's capable of. And to me, that I mean, he looked like a champ there to me.
Yeah. What was the one you said somebody mentioned about fighting Poirier? Like, he blocks weird or he punches?
Yeah. So in that second Holloway fight.
The Holloway fight.
Yeah. He was doing that weird, the hillbilly shell. Not the, like, where he does that awkward elbow. But it works for him, you know? And he does it pretty well. And you could see Holloway, he had trouble getting to him. He could only go to the body at first, couldn't get to his head. And
yeah.
That's awesome, man.
It's crazy because at the end of that fight, Poirier was still busted up.
Yeah.
So eventually he got through.
He definitely got through.
You know, and that's just what Max Holloway does rounds 4 and 5. He puts it on you.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of duration, that's usually where he shines.
Yeah.
But even going back to this, Poirier, calf kicks, Conor McGregor never, he hasn't fought in such a long time, and he hasn't fought anyone who actually
implements that.
Yeah. And in sparring session, it's kind of one of those taboo things where, like, you don't typically try to crush the calf kick.
Mm-hmm.
The leg kicks was like, yo, I'm going to kick the crap out of your leg.
Yeah.
And it's above the knee.
Respectfully.
You know? And if you kick the knee, it's like, damn, that's on you. It's your fault, though. You know? So him having to feel that for the very first time mm-hmm. ever in a live fight,
main
no
event.
Shin pads.
That's a lot.
That's crazy.
That's a lot. No, and you love to see it just because it comes full circle. Dustin was saying, too, he had to experience it himself in his fight with Jim Miller.
What's Jim Miller?
Yeah, no, Jim Miller. I mean, he's
Gaethje.
He ate some from Gaethje, too, but the first one was Jim Miller. And if you, like, that was a long time ago, but if you watched that fight, his leg kept giving out on him.
Majority decision.
Wow, think about that. That's Jim Miller, man, still doing the damn thing. Come on, that's awesome. But Dustin, years later, comes back, like, here, Conor, same thing. And Conor wasn't ready. I mean, his last win at lightweight, 2016, you know, he hasn't been in this like that, like Dustin has. You know, Dustin, meanwhile, think about
that. He's been in the trenches, boy.
He's been in the trenches, man. Come on. I mean, someone showed me his record the other day. Ridiculous. The Hall of Fame stuff. Come on. Undeniable at this point. I mean, we got Gaethje now. We got Conor now. We got Eddie twice. We got Holloway. We got Holloway twice.
Holloway twice.
We got Pettis. I mean, he lost to Khabib, but fought Khabib. Like, that's
Dan Hooker, Louisiana tough, man.
Come on, that's a Hall of Fame record to me right there. Jim Miller, like, these are top-notch guys that he's
got wins
over.
Anthony Pettis.
Even Diego Ferreira, that was early on, but Diego Ferreira is nice now.
He's nice now.
He's nice, so that's a nice win to have, you know?
He's smoking guys right
now. Yeah.
And then, I don't know where Conor really goes from here. I don't think he's going to look for taking a matchup with, like, a Michael Chandler or a Charles Oliveira, because that's another nightmare of a matchup. Styles make fights, at least Conor was very cognizant of that, knowing that. He said if they were to do it again for the trilogy, which probably will happen down the line, big money fight, I think it will. Him making those adjustments, I think he can do it.
Absolutely.
It's just really getting out of the way. Conor came with such a heavy boxing-ass stance and approach. I thought it left him very heavy on that front leg where he got kicked a couple times. And even he said he hurt Thiago Alves. And,
yeah.
Oh, that was a good one. And he was like, oh, shit, yeah.
You were right.
It really was a good one.
No, I mean, Conor looked like he came out like a boxer. Dustin came out like an MMA fighter. You love to see that. I mean, Dustin showed a complete game. Shot early.
Got the takedown.
Early. That was
Conor
awesome.
Conor did good, though, getting back to his
feet. He did. Very impressive. Like, very impressive.
It's not Khabib takedowns.
Of course.
Control.
But even just to be able to get up from Dustin, credited black belt, Dustin, again, showed a complete game. Even when he got up, though, good composure from both guys. I mean, they both look like... I mean, think about just how far MMA's come. These guys both look like championship-level fighters. Just Dustin's been in the trenches for so long.
Yeah.
Conor didn't look like a guy who's been, you know, he's been in it like that.
Yeah. I think uncrowned champ.
Right now, Dustin, come on, hard to deny that guy.
How's he not the champ right now?
Right now, no. I mean... Especially if Khabib's actually gone, then what can you say?
That was arguably the biggest fight you could have made at 155 outside of Khabib being in that mix with either one of these guys.
Absolutely, I'd agree with that.
So when you factored that in, Khabib retiring, we don't really know.
That's kind of the weird thing, right?
He's in the wings right now. He's in the shadows lurking.
That's the problem. Like,
I'm levels above these guys.
You can call Poirier the champ, but that's the tough part. You know, you always know that guy's out there. Like, all right, he's the champ, but is he the best? Like, I get it. I think for Poirier's
perspective, you can say that about
anybody. That's totally fair. That's totally fair. But it's
John Jones, Petey Yan,
all those guys.
Izzy, this guy, even like a guy like Izzy's been knocked out before. You know, these things happen. It's a fight. Anything can happen in a fight. But it's like, like you said, you never know if he's really is he the best? Or can I find someone else that could beat him? Possibly.
That's totally fair. It's just a little tougher since he lost to that guy. Like, that's the only issue.
Yeah.
But I think Dustin, right now, definitely on crown champ. Like, I really can't imagine. I would love
to
see.
If Khabib is done right now.
If Khabib is done, absolutely.
I think he's a champ.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's fair. But, I mean, there's a lot of guys right there that are like right there away from him. I mean, Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler now. Come on now.
I hope that's next.
That would be a terrifying fight.
Let's go to the co-main event. Michael Chandler welcoming himself to the UFC in probably the biggest way that you can in a first round finish. I don't even know how long that was. That was like, it doesn't even say.
I think 2 minutes, 30 seconds.
It was quick.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say.
2 minutes, 30 seconds.
Yeah. Is that the best debut? Against the top 10 guy. Co-main event of a Conor McGregor card. That might be the best debut in the UFC yet. Like, that was unbelievable what that guy did, no?
Eddie Alvarez came over, and it wasn't like that. Cowboy Cerrone, if I remember correctly. Yeah. It was a gritty fight, and it was a tough fight. But this one, man, came out, starched him.
Spectacular.
Put his wrestling power to use, not in terms of, double legs. Mm-hmm. Dan Hooker actually shot on him, and he had him in the front headlock and said, you know what?
I'm good.
Hold these thousand punches and just boom, 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 boom. It was like whack-a-mole, yo.
You're right.
That was bad, but super impressive. Runs up on the cage, jumps up, does a backflip.
Holy crap, that's the scariest part. That's the scariest thing in MMA at this point. Those guys who do the backflip off the cage, holy crap, man.
I feel like I would just land on my neck. Like, I'd go, hi, here I go.
I mean, even if you land normal, though, like, your ankles, your knees, like, you ever jump awkward and just, like, your knees buckle a little bit?
Yeah. Wow. It's like a little bit of a technique, like, giving with it, but I don't know how much of that where you're jumping off that type
off the
of
cage?
Height, gravity, your weight. Like, you can give with it, but you're definitely going to feel something.
I'm good, man. I mean, I'd pick Dan Hooker to win this.
I did too. Yeah. I thought he was going to piece him up from the outside, and those flying knees were going to, step-in knees were going to be a huge factor in this, but it wasn't
at all. Just didn't have the time to set anything up. I mean, there was just no deterrent for Michael Chandler to run forward at that point. Like, if he showed, some knees, some hard strikes when he's coming in, that would have been one thing, but he just kept trying to circle to Michael Chandler's outside, and Chandler just, it looked like he saw it coming. Beautiful 2-3. Walk right into it.
I'm here for a good time, not for a long time, Dana.
He showed it, man.
Dead ass.
He looked like so comfortable in there. That was awesome to watch, man. Just him, like, all smiles.
Yeah. And the other thing I like about Chandler, too, he adopted a child, him and his wife. I'm not sure why they adopted. I'm not sure if his wife had any complications. Mm-hmm. Maybe she can't conceive or something like that. I don't know.
I remember he was on, Schaub's Food Truck Diaries? I think, don't quote me on this, I do remember him saying something that just because of their lives, she has her own life. She's super busy. He has his own. So they just thought this would be the best way to do it for both of them.
And, yeah.
Dude, good for it. Like, come on. Has anyone ever said a bad word about Michael Chandler? That seems like...
They adopted a brother.
Come on.
They adopted a brother.
No one can say a bad word about Chandler. Like, the dude just seems like the most wholesome, like, good guy. Like, if you see any of his posts, like, always motivational, like, inspiring kind of human being. So
he's got to start cussing, though, man.
Nah, I like
him. I need him to drop a little F this and F that.
Nah, actually.
Like, once or two, not,
One or two. He's just... All American, bro. Really awesome.
That's what America was about. All right. America. We get down and dirty.
Oh, speaking of which, I mean, America. Come on, top two right there.
Yo,
Dustin
Poirier
over. Come on, and I don't want to say Frivola, also the only one to make weight. All right, America.
Yeah. So, but other than that, here's one thing I took away from this as well. Dan Hooker. Obviously, he didn't get to really showcase much. The fight was only 2.5 minutes. He had good lateral footwork. Mm-hmm. But something about his approach seemed like he didn't really want to be in there. And maybe I'm completely wrong.
I mean, he did take the gloves off and leave them in the cage, apparently. So I know everyone says it, like, even if you're thinking about that, then maybe it is time for him. Because, Dan, I mean, I don't know. I was listening to a countdown video with Dan Hooker. Like, him and his team produced their own kind of thing.
Yeah.
And at the very beginning of the video, he goes somewhere along the lines of, like, I've seen all Chandler's fights. He usually comes in heavy, aggressive, looking to drop bombs early. And, we'll be expecting that. It didn't look like he was quite expecting that, honestly, which was so strange. Like, right at the beginning, he says that and just he comes out and just nothing. It was unfortunate, but you're right. It just didn't look like he was the same guy that fought Dustin even.
Yeah, and even Felder. I feel like he had two really tough fights almost back to back.
They were, I believe, And they were close, both of them. Felder. Yeah.
After Al, he fought Felder and then fought Poirier.
Yeah.
Back to back wars. And I think when Chandler started to approach him and started getting in swinging, haymakers. Mm-hmm. I think he's seen the whiff from one of those punches, and he just maybe had flashbacks like, I'm not trying to do this again.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
Subconsciously even. Just like his brain, like, I don't want to do this one more time. Like, you know, I'd just be telling him, all right, get out of here for a second. You know, fight or flight.
Because he went two to the body. I don't know if it landed clean, but mm-hmm. he hit like a switch stance and it came with a big hook, which would be like, what would we
almost
call
like an overhand, shifting like.
And it's not a three, so what do you even call right hooks if you're an orthodox fighter? Everyone's number system is different. I guess it's four. No, four is an uppercut. Five, maybe? No, five is a lead.
Let's just say six? Big hook. Yeah.
It's a hook.
Big old hook.
And then he called him clean.
Clean, yeah.
But his defensive, I know he mentioned like his defensive approach to the Dustin Poirier fight was poor. Mm-hmm. He didn't hold himself accountable defensively instead of like being technical and sharp. Mm-hmm. And then this happens when he gets caught with that left hook. It just looked like his hands weren't like nowhere to be found. You know, they were missing.
You're right on that. Yeah.
And I think he, you know, obviously paid a big price for that. Got clipped, and that was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. From there, he got rocked really, really bad. It's tough. So I like Dan Hooker. I think he's funny as hell. Chandler says he's gonna take him down. He says, I like to see you try.
No, that's awesome.
You're gonna hold me down. Guys took me down. How many of them actually keep me down there?
But he's right.
Yeah, he wasn't wrong. I mean, Chandler didn't try to wrestle him. He came out there to take his block off.
That's it. It looked like Hooker was expecting the wrestling.
Yeah.
I just don't think he expected him to hit him with those bombs so early on, like get inside.
Yeah, and even in the pictures we've seen, like him being in the stretcher and his daughter
on
the other side, he's beaten up.
It's,
you know,
man.
It's like, you, as people don't understand, like, yeah, you're a fighter, you tend to think like those fights will potentially happen, but you like to think, you know, I'm gonna get out there and beat this guy's ass.
Yeah.
But then the couple of times you get into those wars like that, and you're just like, holy shit, man, like, I don't want to have to keep dealing with that every single time.
Of course.
And obviously we love our guy Ally Quinta, but it's a very similar situation. Like, he's been in so many wars, mm-hmm. where it's just like, for him, we've talked before, and he's like, you know, it would be nice to have a fight where, kind of like the Diego Sanchez one again. You don't have to starch the guy, but have a good competitive fight and don't have to be in the hospital with like swollen eyes, on crutches. It's like the whole nine. And then getting stitches. It's just a lot to deal with.
How long is that going to be worth it for you, honestly?
Exactly. So when you factor those things in, and even his fight with Kevin Lee, he won that fight, but he was still
five-rounder.
He was still busted up a little bit. And like, for, I know for my fight, he was like, bro, like, I need to start fighting like you. Like, you know, get in and get out.
Yeah, no.
Or not even that. Like, fights, like, to the best of your abilities. Because Al's known to go in there and throw hands. Yeah. I don't know how we got from Poirier to, not Poirier, Hooker to Al. But in just terms of wars, you know, he's the closest thing to home that, you know, I've actually had to a conversation with someone and be able to articulate that and just figure out, like, what that even feels like. And it's like, it doesn't feel good. You know, it's cool because it's going to be a memorable fight for years to come. But in terms of the now, it's like, yo, it takes off a lot. It puts a lot of damage on the body, a lot of miles. Like, even for me, like, I don't take that much damage. And after a fight, I'm like, yo, this hurts, that hurts. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even faking it. It's like, everything just hurts.
No, that Pedro Munhoz fight, like, that was probably, I would say, from what I've seen at least, like, probably one of the tougher wars you were, like, in.
The most damage I've taken, for sure.
Yeah, I'd say that. I mean, dude, how long did it take you to recover from just that?
Like, well, I was on crutches, and that sucked.
People don't see that side, especially like fighters or, you know, people coming up in this. Like, they see the idea. Oh man, you see McGregor. Like, I talk to a lot of guys. Like, oh, you see McGregor. I'd love to do stuff like that. I mean, you'd love to make millions of dollars.
Of course,
I see that. Like, I get that.
Who doesn't?
But they don't see the time he put in. Like, they don't see the hours and like the beat down, like everything, the mental, everything. Like,
yeah. And even like the Pedro fight, I had two little baby stitches in my eyebrow, and you would never even have known unless you like actually talked to me. Like, I had our guy, Matty Rich, hilarious guy, kind of grew up with in the wrestling community from Plain Edge. Shout out to him and the Plain Edge wrestlers. So after my fight in Chicago with Pedro Munhoz, he slaps me on my shoulder like, oh, you got, he's drunk, right? He's hacked.
Oh, no.
And like, I get it. You know,
you're excited. Yeah,
you're
exactly.
You're having a good time, you're on vacation.
But
that's
you don't know.
Do.
Yeah.
But I'm sore. I'm limping.
That's kind of the thing.
Crutches in this place. And I got a split on my left hand because my thumb is out of the socket and it's still pretty jacked up. But then he slaps me on my back, slaps me on my shoulder. He's like, yo, Pops, you're good, man. There's nothing wrong with you. Not a scratch on you. That was amazing. I was like, ow.
Like
I was like, please stop grabbing me because I might hit you because this hurts right now.
But even just like the thing you described, your hand even, like, people don't think about that. Like, bro, these gloves are small. Like, my hands, dude, your hands, I'm sure, busted up all the time.
Yeah,
like,
all the time.
A lot of guys
and
like that,
I don't really throw punches like that.
like guys that are just predominantly boxers too. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, so people gotta imagine that. That's why I always say, like, I hope when these guys get into these wars, just going back to Dan Hooker's, mm-hmm. like, I hope they get paid for it, man.
Absolutely.
And obviously, again, I just feel like he didn't look like he was mentally ready for a scrap like that. Man.
And Chandler did.
Rightfully so. Chandler's like, you know what? This is my time. Like he said, I'm here for a good time, not for a long time. And he showed it. He really went out there and, like, yo, I'm trying to decapitate this guy. Mm-hmm. And that was it. The next one we have Joanne called. Oh, the other thing. Now, Dan Hooker didn't have anyone from City Kickboxing.
Yeah, I saw that too. I guess what they said was they had all their guys were too busy, you know, with Izzy coming up and Volkanovski. And I mean, I'm sure.
I have thoughts on that.
That's tough, man. That's a tough. I mean, I also, Dan Hooker owns his own gym. Like, I'm sure that's complicated. That's tough.
I mean,
tough,
who's the guys that got you to the show?
That, I agree with that 100%.
Who are the guys
that
you're actually working with? I'm not saying you need to take away all those guys, but who's to say, like, those guys can't come out so that it's a kind of a group thing and not just one guy? Obviously, it's a bubble.
Fair.
So that's another thing. But in terms of them having a crowd, I think they could have made some
adjustments
for that.
Well, we said it that night too. Like, I'm like, are those Dan Hooker's teammates? Like, who's coming out with them? Because, you know, he usually has Eugene Behrman and a couple other guys, and just none of them looked like they were there. So
it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It's a weird situation in general. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt bad for him in that regards. I'm not saying his coaches are wrong or anything like that, but obviously you bring your teammates, but
you would have liked to see him put his best foot forward. Like, if he had his team all around him, at least then you're like, all right, like, that's not something that could have been in the way.
Yeah. Like, I fought without Ray and Matt in my corner, and I had you, Dennis, and Al. Mm-hmm. I've had Al in my corner numerous times, and for me, that was my most comfortable group of people that I was like, this is who I feel most comfortable with, where I'm like, I can be comfortable in the back room and ask for stuff if I need help with anything, and this will make everything okay in terms of, and not for nothing, it's not like Matt and Ray are running around running errands for me anyway.
This is fair, so, too. You know,
so they always show up on like a Thursday or Friday morning, Thursday night at like midnight or Friday, early Friday morning, where it's like all the work's already done.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, with the quarantine times, I mean, definitely weirder too. Like, definitely have to account for that too when you're training.
So I need to make sure I have guys that can actually help me.
Yes, like, that's in that sense. Help. No, you're right. You know, you're 100% right.
In that regards, like, for this situation, it's just kind of tough. Like, if I'm having a big fight like this where it could be life-changing and putting me back in a situation where I could fight for a world title again, I would feel like I would want my best group of guys there.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, he rolled the dice, and that's what happens. So, you know, it's a fight game. Things happen.
If there's any time to be selfish, that's the time right there.
Yeah. But obviously, the other guys are champs.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so it's like, look, I get it. It's tough.
But we're talking about one workout. I mean, obviously, actually, it's a two-week thing, because then they go away.
Exactly. It's a tough situation, man.
Yeah, yeah. Joanne Calderwood versus Jessica Eye. Very competitive fight. Yeah. I thought Calderwood looked good, but she looked like she was fatiguing. I don't know if that's just the face she just always makes, was just look like she's tired.
No, I agree with you. But, she looked like she was tiring, but no, she looked good, like good striking. Kept her away with the front kicks, I remember.
His teeps were money.
Yeah.
Did a lot of damage in the clinch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jess, her problem was she was just primarily boxing and looking for takedowns, but with the takedowns, she wasn't doing much whenever the fight hit the clinch or in the cage. So that was the only issue for me for her.
Yep.
And it sucks because they both live in Vegas now. So it's like, they're going to see each other at the PI all the time. And they had animosity going into this. So now the hatch is buried, but obviously someone's going to be salty. You can't not be.
You can't not be.
There's no way. No. Like, I could pretend I'm not salty about losing to Marlon. Yeah, I'm over it, but I'm still salty about it. Like,
I mean, I get salty when I lose. Like, we lose in chess, you get salty.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
You think in a fight, it's going to... Yeah, it might be a little bit more.
Yeah. This guy, Mahmoud Mardav.
I don't think that's right.
Andrew Sanchez. I don't think that's right. I think that's how you say his name. But he looked good, man. I put out a tweet. I was going for the mullet, the angry mullet.
Mm-hmm.
And
close. Like, he made it competitive.
Andrew?
Yeah, he at least made it a fight.
It was a fight.
But then...
It was a fight.
Until he got that, was it the flying knee? Man, that's a problem. There were so many good fights on this card. Like, I honestly... the earlier ones, how, like, they don't...
I don't even remember the flying knee, bro.
I don't remember. I remember the
punch behind the ear that had him doing the like, it kind of reminded me of the Kevin Lee dance. Where it was
terrible. When you got rocked by Edson.
Yeah, listen, man, people say the dab and
this better be a meme soon.
It's just one of those things.
Oh, it's terrible.
If you're in the history books, you're in the history books. There's nothing you can do about this.
The internet's brutal.
And I like Kevin a lot. Everyone knows I'm a big Kevin Lee fan.
But no, it's 100% what it looked like. Like, he was rocked.
I was like, it was impressive because he stood up.
He did stay standing. No, you're right. But damn.
So I didn't see the flying knee after that. That's why I'm like, where was the flying knee?
I honestly don't even remember that. I just remember the punch and then him just being finished from that.
That was at 185. This kid...
Muradov.
That was his third UFC fight.
Oh, wow.
So he's 3-0 in the UFC right now. Trevor Smith and DeCherico.
I don't remember any of these fights. That's terrible. There's too many fighters out there, man.
It's a lot. So I'm looking forward to him seeing what he could do, because it looked like he's got some good striking and some solid grappling as well, because he was looking for some takedowns but didn't actually get anything. And he's from Uzbekistan?
I believe so. And Sanchez is a good wrestler.
I need you to pronounce it, sir.
Uzbekistan.
Oh, okay.
Come on now.
I don't even know if that's correct. But
I don't think so either. Okay, look, I just got to say it confidently.
Yeah, go ahead. The next one, Marina Rodriguez versus Amanda Ribas.
That was vicious.
I actually lost this bet. You lost this bet.
Yeah, that was
and,
tough.
And we were playing... one of our roommates decided to say, if you lose, you have to take a shot.
Yeah. So
that ended up happening.
No, that was a rough one.
I got all my picks wrong, so I was actually really upset about
that. Wow, you were 0-5?
In the main card?
5-1?
Yeah. One. I didn't bet on Jessica or...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. But wow, that's brutal, man. I'm actually pretty terrible at picking fights.
The main card, I shit myself on that.
I mean, Hebus didn't look bad. She got the takedown the first round. She did some work down there. But Marina, dude, her striking looks like, for women's flyweight, strawweight, which is even lower, Jesus, her striking looks vicious. Like,
nah, she looked good, man. Very competent, very skilled, and not just like another face that's just there.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, I'm just a girl in a very thin division, and I got signed.
No, she actually looks like she's got skills. And, I mean, look, she kind of put Amanda Ribas away twice, really. Like, Herb gave her the old pump fake, and she was like, wait, what? And then just went in to do it again, which you got to kind of respect.
Yeah. I thought Herb Dean did the right thing. He didn't stop the fight. He told him to keep fighting.
Yeah.
She got hurt.
Yeah.
But she made the adjustment to try to get in. Mm-hmm. I know some people are going to say, oh, those were unnecessary shots. It's a fight, man.
Give
the fighter a chance. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, you can't say I was robbed.
Yeah. Well, no, there's no shot. She definitely can't say that. All right. But
exactly.
No, you're right though. You want, especially if you're a fighter, you want every chance you can possibly get.
Yeah. If I lose like that, man, let me lose. Otherwise, I'm gonna be mad. Yeah. Like, the ref took that from me, and I'm never gonna be able to.
Especially
sleep well
if you are shooting in, you're like, all right, come on, I was trying something. Like, you gotta give me to the end of this. But
yeah, show me that you're intelligently defending yourself as per what they tell us in the rules. And she tried. This next one, this guy missed weight, took a short notice fight with our guy Matt Frivola, Steamroller.
Armin Sarukian.
Good fighter.
Definitely.
Very rated, highly rated, highly touted guy.
Big prospect coming up. His first fight was at Islam Makhachev.
Yeah.
He made a very good account of himself. But I thought Frivola...
Got a couple takedowns on him.
Yeah. The first one, I think, in the UFC against Islam. But
yeah.
I thought Frivola... Dude, come on. Lat dropped him, too.
Lat dropped him from the hood.
Come on now.
Streets.
Come on now. We know
pretty
who...
Pretty streets right there. Long Island wrestling.
Come on. I mean, Frivola... From a guy who's fighting Ottoman, Azaitar?
Yeah.
Which also a ridiculous story.
Goes to this.
Complete different style. I mean, Frivola, I think, held a good account of himself, too. I think he was a minus, 700, Armin Sarukian was, and Frivola was plus 500.
Yeah,
so plus 500 underdog, he didn't look like it.
Yeah, yeah. It was competitive. He stuffed a couple of takedowns. Mm-hmm. Even got a takedown of his own the last
round. Yeah, come
that
on.
That counts.
That counts.
It might not have ended on top, but you get points for that.
In freestyle, you get points, 100%.
Yeah. He looked good, man. He fought hard, battled in. When he got taken down in that first round, Armin looked like he was starting to have an adrenaline dump, but then he looked like he hit a second win.
Yeah.
Probably.
Got the takedown, was able to kind of
in that
hold
third
it for
round,
a bit.
Yeah, because that second round, he was able to coast the entire time, just being on top. I hate saying he didn't do much damage. He did a little bit, but I mean, if you look at it, how much control time he had, he didn't really do much in terms of damage to Frivola, which is good. It says a lot about, I think, our defense and says a lot about the toughness of our team.
Yeah.
Taking that fight.
Absolutely. Guy missed weight and taking it on a day's notice.
Yeah.
Look, I think Frivola stock can only go up. Come on.
Now, Armin missed weight, so he had to forfeit 20% of his purse to Frivola, even though Frivola wasn't the original opponent. Who was his original opponent?
Armin's?
Yeah.
He was supposed to fight that one guy from TriStar, fake
Nasrallah.
That's it.
Supposedly, he just didn't show up. How does that
even
work?
What the hell is that about? That's crazy.
I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. Obviously, I just don't know what happened. But this is the story I heard. I'm like, but how can you not show up? You took the test. You were at the Vegas. You had to show up. Like, what do you mean you didn't show up?
Well, so was he in Abu Dhabi?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Did he just take a free flight and then just disappear?
That would have been crazy.
That's
ballsy.
Maybe, hey, driver, just let me up.
Nasrat Hakparast. Where is that? What country is that?
I thought he was from Germany or something like that.
Okay, all right.
But the other part of the story was Frivola's guy scaling the...
Or at least he had someone scale the balcony and give him some sort of devious bag.
Yeah, and
we still don't know what that is.
The other thing, Frivola had three fights fall out.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Three fights fall out. Roosevelt Roberts canceled. Frank Camacho canceled. Roosevelt Roberts again canceled.
And then technically Oddman canceled. Nah.
And then gets a brand new opponent. At that point, he's just like, yo, screw this.
Anyone.
I'm just going to take the fight.
Nah.
And they offered him his show and win money. And we were just discussing this. Like, is it worth it for him to take that fight and gamble it? Like, unless that show and win money was secure and he's just getting extra money for taking another fight. Okay, all right, why not? But maybe it's worth the juice is worth the squeeze in a situation like that. But then we're discussing, like, in terms of who you want to be, and I'm not knocking him for his decision. Obviously, this is a tough situation, and only the person in those shoes, you know your financial situation, you know your goals, and everything, your criteria, who you want to be remembered as a fighter. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be a Cowboy Cerrone? Anywhere, anytime type of person, you take any opponent, any day's notice, whatever, then that's a steamroller who just did that.
100%.
Or are you trying to take the fights and pick and choose who you want? So depending on how you look at it and how you say it, it really depends on what the individual wants and where they're trying to go with their career. No. Frivola's never had a fair shake since he got signed to the UFC. He's had nothing but tough fighters.
Yeah, at least prospects that it looks like people, you know.
Polo Reyes, I believe he was a prospect when he came in, or he was 6-0 when they fought. No, Frivola was 6-0.
I believe Frivola was 6-0. Okay. Polo Reyes had some good UFC experience at that point.
He was 7-4 when they fought. Yeah, he was 7-4 when they fought. So he wasn't
necessarily
a prospect.
And after he fought Lando Venata, who fought Ferguson.
Yeah, I take that back. He wasn't a prospect, but he won 1, 2, 3 fights in the UFC before losing to James Vick. So he was 3-1 before he fought Frivola. Yeah. So he got a tough fight right out of the gate. A guy with a lot of UFC experience. Frivola only 6-0.
Yeah.
Then goes on fight Lando Venata.
That's it.
Highlight reel, who just lost. So they were trying to get him back in the win column. And the UFC is going to say, we're never in the fight of trying to make you lose.
No.
They make the fight. Whoever wins, wins. Of course, they can't do anything else.
But certain storylines seem to keep popping up.
But they do give favorable matchups to certain people. And Frivola passed that test with flying colors. Yeah. I thought he won that fight against Lando Venata.
I did too. Obviously, I'm a little biased.
Yeah, majority draw. And also hit him with a line drop as well.
Come on now.
And then he fought Jalen Turner and Lewis Pena. Both were like 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah.
Frivola's like 5'8", if that.
But he got the dub.
You know, two hard fought fights, and then he goes in here. And remember, he's a Marine guy, you know, so I think that mentality is just him mentally tough. He's driven, and he's just a hard-nosed guy. He's just like, he doesn't give no, like, I try not to curse too much on this podcast anymore because people say, like, the kids
are watching. That's hilarious.
I do curse a lot, so I'm trying to work on that. Sorry. But yeah, so it is what it is.
I just hope in the long run, I think Frivola can take a lot of good from this. I mean, he did fight, again, this guy, Sarukian, very good prospect. To fight him on a day's notice and fight him as well as he did, I think that should give him a lot of, I think that should be a lot of good things into the future, knowing, look, I just, like, hung in there with a very tough guy.
Yeah.
I'm at that level.
Yeah, and that's the big confidence booster right there, I think, going forward. And maybe in a full training camp to get ready for that style, because it was a completely twist of a style.
Absolutely.
Completely different twist against a guy who's throwing nothing but haymakers and bombs that you think you're going to stand and bang with and maybe wrestle him. Mm-hmm. You get out-wrestled by a guy who's known for a wrestler. Next one, Brad Tavares. Just a quick shout-out to these guys over at Extreme Couture. Those guys are on fire right now. Mm-hmm. Brad Tavares, the other Hawaiian. Brad Tavares is Hawaiian. The other Hawaiian who just won, I think, 2 weeks ago? Was that last week?
It was last week.
Puna.
Mm-hmm.
He got a crazy knockout in the first round, and they got Dan Ige coming up. The whole team, there's just a lot of Hawaiians seem to just transplant over there, and I just like the culture of those guys. They're super cool, super chill. And
they got a lot of wins over
Max
West.
Holloway, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Hawaiian nation, the Hawaiian state is doing pretty damn well in the UFC right now.
Yeah, those Extreme Code Tour guys did really well this past week, so shout out to them. And yeah. Nixon.
And Dolce.
Dolce champion. Yeah, they did very well, so that's good for them, man. Awesome.
Yeah, and he beat a tough guy in Antonio Carlos Jr.
Definitely, yeah.
High-level grappler. If that fight gets to the ground, he gets on top, man, it could be a completely different fight. And
Lars almost wiped out that defense, though.
Just yeah.
Didn't give up a single... He knew the deal.
You stay up, you win.
That's it.
And Juliana Pena coming back and getting a sub over Sarah McMahon. I know she called out for the champ. She wants to fight Amanda Nunes, but she's kind of had a little bit of an up and down. So it's probably not going to happen right now.
Yeah.
You know, she's alternated, wins and losses, lost to Valentina, beat Nico Montagna, lost to Jermaine Duranomy. Sorry.
Oh, man.
And then just beat Sarah Brinkman. But before that, she was on fire, beating Castagano, Jessica Eye,
she was on a big streak for a while, I remember, but then...
Killing it. And then she had a baby, and then I feel like sometimes things change, man, and to get back into the swing of things and into that lifestyle of being an athlete again could really, really be tough. And I'm just happy she's back in the win column.
Yeah, no, good for her.
I don't know what that's all about.
We're going to talk about it after this.
Mosar Evloev, just another shout out to him. He looked good. I don't know how he kept putting himself in that guillotine situation.
Crazy, dangerous. The only thing that Nick Lentz is really known for.
That's like his bread and butter. It's like fighting Brian Kelleher and shooting constantly
just
to his left
your
side
neck
guillotine.
Right there.
Knowing like that's what he got is just challenging him.
It made the fight way more exciting than it needed to be, honestly, though.
And this kid's a prospect. He's a very good wrestler himself. Mm-hmm. Now 14-0 Russian fighter. And Nick Lentz almost had him a couple times, but split decision.
Yeah.
And this kind of reminded me of Mossad Bektik versus Damian Jackson.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Bektik just kept shooting.
Yeah.
And his one thing was jiu-jitsu.
It looked like, I remember in that fight, it looked like Bektik, he looked very confident, you know, when he on the ground, but it's like, why?
Everyone looks confident.
Yeah, no, look.
Until you're not.
It just made no sense to me. It's like, this guy's best chance is on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, why would you... I get it. If you're that confident, I get it. But it didn't seem like the right game plan for this.
No, it wasn't. And for this, the same thing. I was like, this guy's playing with fire.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's a better striker, even though... it was kind of like back. It was kind of like just crazy and all over the place.
I'm not going to lie. I vaguely remember. The main card kind of took
everything. We were playing Smash Bros. That whole time.
Yeah.
Smash Bros. The whole time. And speaking of Smash Bros., guys, if you like the podcast, smash the like button.
That was good.
Other than that, thank you guys. If you guys want to get some more training gear, Funkmaster, go check out AljamainStrong.com. I'm actually going to change over my website soon and going to be going with a different provider. And from there, we're supposed to have a lot more cooler stuff
awesome.
In terms of material. And it's going to be a one-stop shop. And they'll help me out with doing shipping and everything. So I have a little bit more freedom in terms of that right now. So thank you guys for always supporting. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Thanks. I know you want to.
That's it.
If you like my shit, subscribe to my shit. Or spinning back this baby. Bow, bow, bow. Peace.
All right.
That's the show. You can't get up as
you ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get to stepping. And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye bye.